Welcome to Leveling Up with Lindsay, the podcast where we dive into leadership, small business, and everything in between. I'm Lindsay, your host and the proud owner of White Peony Boutique, a space created to empower women, build confidence, and foster meaningful connections. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a mom, a friend, or someone just looking for a little inspiration, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired. Join me as we share stories, strategies, and a little bit of life's chaos while navigating what it truly means to level up in starting a business, relationship, and personal growth. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfy, and let's level up together. Welcome back to Leveling Up with Lindsay. Today's episode is one of the most heartfelt conversations I've had the honor to share with you. I met today's guest, Erica Boyke, through White Peony in the very beginning. From the moment I met her, she's always been such an incredibly kind and sweet soul, the kind of woman who makes you feel seen and cared for with her presence. I also had the privilege of meeting her son, Charlie, when he came to our very first fall peony market. He was selling pumpkins, and I remember his smile and the joy he brought into that space. None of us could have imagined then just how precious that memory would become. On December 10th, 2022, Erica's world and her family's world forever changed when they lost Charlie in a tragic car accident. He was just 17 years old. He was full of life, loved the game of hockey, and had a smile and presence that left an impression on everyone around him. He's remembered for his kindness, his spirit, and the way he made people feel. His legacy continues to touch lives even now. In the middle of unimaginable grief, Erica and her family have found a way to keep Charlie's light alive through Skate Free Charlie and her passion project, the Zamboni Spirit Ride. Their mission is to honor his legacy by giving back, creating joy, and reminding us all the power of love. Today, Erica is here to share her heart, her journey through loss, and how she is carrying Charlie's story forward with strength, grace, and so much love. This is Skate Free Charlie, a mother's love, a son's legacy. All right, well, welcome, Erica.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So our story goes back, you and I, quite some time. Mm-hmm. But before we go into the details, would you mind just telling anybody listening a little bit about you and your family?
Sure. So I am not originally from the central Minnesota area. I grew up in the Twin Cities area, born and raised. That's kind of where I thought my roots would always be.
Sure.
Was heavily involved in activities as an athlete down in the cities. But then I met a boy through a mutual friend of mine, and my life turned into central Minnesota. Moved up here and married my husband, Jeff, and together we have established our roots here. My background has always been in hospitality, so building relationships, meeting people is always something that I really enjoy, and that's just kind of what keeps us grounded in central Minnesota.
Now, you're a wife, you're a mom of three boys, and they all love sports. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my kids, you know, I had a little sign in my kids' playroom when they were little, and it kind of describes my life, and it said, boys are noise covered in dirt.
Oh, I love that.
And that's what they were. They were noisy, they were loud, they were energetic. All of them have ADHD, so you can imagine what that is like.
Busy.
Yes, organized chaos is what I refer to it as. But they were definitely my joy. You know, being a mom that was more about female athletics and whatnot, I wasn't familiar with boys. So they definitely opened up my world a lot and kept me very busy. My husband, too, we just kind of jumped into. They were our world growing up and immersed ourselves in their activities.
I love that. What would you say is like the favorite sport? Oh,
you know,
is there one?
Well, obviously hockey.
Yeah.
But we wanted to make sure our boys tried everything. You know, they tried the baseball and it was too boring for them. They'd be out in the field making sand angels or kicking the dirt around. It just was not active enough for them. My husband played soccer.
Okay.
He was a big soccer player, but Charlie tried it, but it wasn't something that clicked for them. I think hockey just was kind of like the, it was aggressive.
Sure.
It was physical. It was.
It takes a lot.
It allowed them to get out their energy. And I was grateful for that because they would maybe come off the ice somewhat tired and I could catch my breath. But Louis, our youngest, also plays football and he's also a lacrosse player too.
Sure. Okay. So you, the three boys.
Yep.
Names and ages.
Drew is 23.
Okay.
Charlie is now my heavenly spirit. He will be 20 in October. And Louis, it just turned 17.
Okay. So all three of them did play hockey, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they did. All the way growing up, and Luis in his senior year right now.
That's a lot of smelly hockey skates.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I often joke that you know, when COVID came around, I'm like, you know, sure, test to see if you have COVID, to smell the inside of a hockey bag. Because if you can't smell true. It, then you have COVID.
Very true. My brother played hockey, so I definitely can relate. Like, yeah. I remember very vividly what that hockey smell is like. Yeah,
there's nothing like it.
Oh, too funny. So day-to-day life, busy. Three boys, mm-hmm. playing all the sports. Mm-hmm. Hockey is their favorite. Now I would love to transition a little bit, and I would love you to tell us Charlie.
Yeah.
He's obviously going to be a part of this podcast throughout, mm-hmm. and your story.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Charlie.
Charlie joked, you know, like I said, I have a 23-year-old and I have a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Charlie would always throw at his brothers that he was the only planned one because Drew was our honeymoon surprise and Louis was definitely our, oh my gosh, we're having a third baby surprise. So Charlie always would hold that above his brothers. He was very quirky. Mm-hmm. He had the ability to relate to anybody. He could talk to any person. He's the kind of kid that would go up to you, shake your hand, look you in the eye, and have a conversation with you. He wasn't shy. He definitely, there was no black and white with Charlie. I mean, it was all black and white with Charlie. It was never any gray, and he would give you his opinion whether you wanted it or not. So he was also the pot stirrer between Drew and Louis, too. But in the same sense, he was such a caring, mm-hmm. old soul, thoughtful, kind kid.
Mm. I met Charlie. You reminded me of this recently, and it was our very first fall peony market. And I will never forget that because of his presence. He is very outgoing. And I was taken back, gosh, at the time, what would he have, 15?
15, probably.
Old,
15, 14, 15.
He was selling pumpkins.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him coming in, and I think he put his arms on our counter, and he was, like, asking questions and kind of introducing himself. And he always was like, thank you so much. He was so polite.
Yeah.
He was like, thank you so much for having me here. Thank you, thank you. You know, he just kept saying thank you. And he was just so sweet, but very outgoing.
You
and
know,
I love that about him.
The whole pumpkin thing, he mm-hmm. started what was called Farmer Charlie's Produce. And it was him so growing cute. Produce and vegetables with his grandpa. Mm-hmm. So that was their thing that they loved to do. And the whole market, he mm-hmm. was like, Mom, we need to like... We have to have stuff for pets, too, because he's such an animal lover. So I remember staying up super late making these animal pumpkin treats for market, too, because he had to have them. So he was so excited to be able to showcase his prize trophies.
That was pumpkins pretty awesome.
There. Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. When people talk about Charlie, aside from you and I, what do they remember most about Charlie?
Again, I think his... quirkiness, his smile that could light up the darkest mm-hmm. of rooms, that you know made his eyes squint because he would smile so bright, and really just how thoughtful and caring he was. He was the kid that would, especially when it comes to teammates, he would drive, you know, across town to help somebody out just because that's the kind, generous soul that he was. Mm. So very unique. At 17 for sure. That's and true. Smart. I don't know where his smartness came from, but almost sometimes too smart for his own good.
On December 10th, 2022, your family's life shifted forever. What do you feel comfortable sharing about that day and the days followed?
Yeah, you know, I was not home. I was actually up in Duluth with Louis. We were at a hockey tournament. And Charlie was home. He was in his junior year of high school, and he had a game. I remember that morning talking to him, and he was all... frazzled because he didn't know what he was going to wear to the game because mm-hmm. they had to dress up and he had to figure it out because he was going out to breakfast with his teammates. But so fast forward to that night, we had just gotten back from a hockey game watching the UND Bulldogs play, and we were in Hermantown and we got a phone call from the front desk and the front desk said, my good friend answered it, the phone, and they said the Hermantown police were there and needed to talk to me about a personal matter. And she was like, well, is this a joke? What do you need to talk to her about? And so I got on the phone, and the police were like, we need to come up to your room and talk to you about a personal matter. Ugh. So I hung up the phone, and my heart started pounding, and I remember saying to my friend Jen, you know, I think there's something wrong with Jeff, my husband. And she's like, well, when did you last talk to him? I said, it was earlier today. She goes, well, let's just see what they have to say. But also I thought too, maybe it's just something simple, something fixable. Maybe somebody ran into my car or Drew or Louis did something dumb at home and they couldn't get a hold of Jeff.
Yeah.
But when they knocked on the door and they pulled me out into the hallway, I knew it wasn't anything simple or fixable. And they didn't hesitate, and they just told me he was in an accident and he died on impact. Mm. And of course, it's a parent's worst nightmare. Louis was on the other side of that door. He was 14 at the time. Oh. He's like, you had the kind of scream that you only hear in horror movies. Oh. He goes, I never thought I would ever hear anybody scream like that. I remember just kind of dropping to the floor in disbelief. But at the same time, he was on the other side of the door and he was hearing what was happening. And I had to push down all those emotions and just be his mom. Yes. And be there for him. So it was all just kind of a blur, and they wouldn't let me go home because the roads were really foggy.
Oh, that's terrible.
And just trying to talk to Jeff, piece together what happened, but wanting to get home and calling my dad and having him just kind of call me throughout the night, but just waiting for the crack of the light to break through the curtains so I could get home. And the crazy thing is, the night before, we ran into a family friend who I hadn't seen in a while. Her son played for UMD. And I believe God places people in your lives for a reason at particular moments of your life. She was placed with me that night because her and her family became our vessel to get home safely that next morning and got us home to be with our family. Then from there, it was just kind of dealing with, I remember being so mad at God. You know, it was really testing my faith on why would you take my 17-year-old kid away from me? And our pastor was there, and he reminded me, he's like, Erica, he didn't take Charlie away. He's here to help you, guide you through this now, and help you and your family to be here and to lean on you and to help you through this tragedy. Mm. It thrust it into us, into a club that we never wanted to be part of, but now it's how do we deal with this new reality?
Mm. I literally am, you know, I've heard your story before many times, and I am like holding back every ounce of me with the tears because I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine. But I can relate in a police officer coming to your door like that unexpectedly as I lost my father-in-law. And that's an experience that gives you PTSD that you just can't describe to anyone. Mm-hmm. And they're doing their job, and they need to come to you. But that's like one of the most traumatic things. When you were talking about that, I absolutely put myself in that scenario again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, and for Jeff too, our neighbor is a sheriff, and he was off duty, and our other neighbors were actually the ones that found Charlie in the field that night. And Craig was the one that had to come knocking on the door to tell Jeff. And Jeff thought it was Charlie, thinking he was locked out of the house because it was so cold that night and frozen. He's like, oh, that kid's banging on the door. I wish it would have been him banging on the door. But yeah, so, you know, I believe God puts people in your lives for that reason. And the people that were there for Charlie that night and the people that were with me and Louie that night, I now know were placed there for that reason because they were kind, warm individuals that will help us to get us on this new reality, this new journey.
So grief looks different for everyone. As a mom, I truly cannot imagine. If there are people that are listening that can relate in any way, I'm going to encourage you to reach out to Erica, but also like walk us through what that looked like for you. How were you able to move on day by day, I assume?
Yeah. It was such a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was about Charlie that this community just like, it was over, I refer to it as overwhelmingly overwhelming because they literally wrapped their arms around us. They were the glue that kept us together during this time. You know, my father-in-law said it best too. He goes, when did you ever hear of a 17-year-old kid driving on a country road, gets into an accident, and he was on every major news channel. Charlie's story was everywhere. It was just surreal. But because of that, I think the glue that helped us stay together really helped us to continue to take steps forward. They wrapped their arms around us. I guess if there's a silver lining in this is that Charlie didn't suffer. You know, that night when I laid in bed shaking, those were the thoughts that ran through my head. Was he scared? Did he struggle? Was he in pain? And to know that he went peacefully and went right away, I guess, brings a little bit of warmth to my heart because he didn't struggle. But with that being said, you know, the community raised a lot of money for my family and I to make sure that we didn't have a care in the world, make sure that we didn't have to worry about anything. But because of that, we felt it was our goal now to give back to that community, mm-hmm. to take those funds and to honor Charlie and to thank the community that was so supportive of us during this time. You know, with the grief process too, my family's all handled it very differently. Yeah. I've learned that there's ways of dealing with grief. There's a hand griever, there's a heart griever, and there's a head griever. Mm-hmm. My husband is definitely a hands griever. He works with his hands through his grief, through coaching, through building things, through Zamboni projects. That's his way of grieving and dealing. Mm-hmm. Drew and Louie, they are definitely head grievers. They think about their brother and they emulate his characteristics in their everyday life. Louie will pick up slang words that Charlie used to say. Mm-hmm. He is honoring his brother by being number 17 in every sport that he is, and nobody will dare try to take number 17.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And Drew, you know, him and Charlie were oil and water a lot of times, but they were really starting to mix well. And Charlie was really starting to get into hunting. So in honor of that, and Charlie also was really starting to hound us to get a dog. A silver lab was like his wish list dog. So Drew got a silver lab, and he's making sure that it is the best hunting dog. Mm-hmm. It is in honor of Charlie. And I'm sure Charlie will throw a few curveballs at him from up above and make Drew mad and have Oakley go in one direction when he should have gone the other. But those are just the ways of how they've dealt with it. For me, I'm definitely the heart griever. I am the one that talks about Charlie and tells the stories and wants to make sure that I allow his memory to live on as far as long as I can.
One thing I do want to correct myself in my question in the beginning, and something that was really, it's sensitive to myself as well, is when I said, you know, how did you move on? It's not, that actually kind of got under my skin and my heart a little bit in the beginning when I lost my father-in-law, because you never move on. You move forward and you learn, you know, like just every day you learn how to, you know, manage your emotions or or carry the legacy on, but it's not moving on. It's just, it's moving forward.
It's moving one foot in front of the other. It's a long life to live. And I could very easily go in a dark corner and cry and not want to come out, but Charlie wouldn't want that. That's not who Charlie was. And I know every day I get up, I'm one day closer to our reunion, and I just have to remember that. And I don't know how much time I have here, but I'm going to make every moment, make sure that I'm living in honor of him. A quote that I read that kind of resonated with me earlier on was, it talks about how we're all here on earth too. We're in schooling, we're learning, we're teaching, we're overcoming, we're loving, we're thriving. And when we're done with our schooling, it's our time to go home. And in Charlie's true overachievement fashion, he just completed his schooling much earlier than he was supposed to. So now it's my job down here to continue to teach and to learn and to thrive and to overcome and to love. And when I get up there, I just want him to look at me and say, you did it. I'm proud of you.
Okay, cue the tears. That is so amazing. What a way to turn such a tragedy into something so beautiful.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just our way of honoring him. And for those that didn't get a chance to know Charlie, down the road, I want his name to be like, oh yeah, that kid sounded really cool. He sounded like a kid that I could have related to. That's just my legacy now, is to just continue to make his legacy live on.
That's amazing. And amongst all of it, you really have, your family has really done so many incredible things. It was so cool to see the hockey community specifically.
Oh, yeah.
And gosh, I remember seeing hockey families and hockey teams, you know, throughout everywhere posting about Charlie and honoring. And I was like, wow, this is an impact. That is legacy that is definitely going all over the world, like all over the United States.
Yeah. Hockey was his passion. He was probably not the most skilled hockey player, and he would have told you that. But he had a passion for it. His St. Cloud State Huskies were his absolute favorite team, you know, so when he passed away, they physically took, I can't remember the guy's last name and I apologize, but number 17 for the Huskies, they literally took his nameplate off of their jersey and they physically handed us his jerseys because we wanted to make sure for his memorial that it was about Charlie. The Minnesota Wild put sticks out for Charlie, and that was the first time they had ever done that. So it was crazy. We've had the unfortunateness or fortunateness, I guess, of meeting other families who've lost their children who were around the same time, about the same age as hockey players. And I think Charlie was just trying to build an all-star team up there that he could play with and score some goals on.
How neat, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
I love that thought. Tell us a little bit, because you guys have really taken this in created something so cool. You have your mission with the Zambonis. Tell everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, the mission of the Zambonis kind of started out as a joke. You know, okay. It was Jeff wanted to take a sticker and say, it's not me, it was Louie, because Charlie would always blame everything on Louie. We had a lady that worked for Jeff, she created this logo that said Skate Free Charlie, and Skate Free Charlie just kind of emulates what he's doing up there. He's skating free. And it turned into Jeff was going to go on a road trip and take a sticker and go put it on the back of a Zamboni, because Charlie had a bucket list of wanting to go to as many states as he could to watch a hockey game. So obviously now he can't, but this is our way of being able to do that. So we've sent out probably 2,000 stickers, and he is on stickers in Europe. He is on an ice creamer in New Zealand. He is in Brazil. We just got him on a rink in Juneau, Alaska. And the cool thing is, you know, we started this website called skatefreecharlie.org, and we have the Mission Zamboni project on there, and you can see on the map where he is.
That's amazing.
Everywhere. And people can help us spread that Skate Free Charlie Zamboni mission by just sending in a request for a sticker. And we'll mail them one, and all that we ask in return is that they send us a photo so that we can put them on the map and show their rink with Charlie on it.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's been fun to just see how it's taken off. And some of the places that reach out, you're like, holy cow, how are we going to get this there? Like the one in Iceland, the guy said, can you just send me the file, because it'll cost more than you want to send, more money than it would to send it out here. So I'll just create my own sticker.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How cool is that? And bless their hearts.
I know.
For such a mission.
We had a rink in Alaska that did a full-fledged ceremony and talked about Charlie.
Oh,
and the mayor sent us the video of them putting the sticker on the Zamboni.
Wow.
So it was very humbling, very warming, very, I guess, healing too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so Skate Free Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you created that as a title. I love the Zamboni project.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible how far this is connecting people. It's absolutely incredible. And you're on another mission, too, as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're in the process of building. In addition to, we've done some scholarships. We do scholarships for two high schools here in town. But we started what it was called. Charlie worked out at Omni Training Facility. And Leah and Colin, the owners, were always very kind to Charlie. They would let him work there and clean up. They would let him sell his produce there. And he worked out there. But he would walk around probably, he would get 10,000 steps in a day, just trying to find the perfect spot to find a target shooting area for hockey players. And probably talked Colin's ear off trying to find the perfect spot. So when this all happened, almost a year ago now, I sat down with Jeff and I said, you know, what if we took some of that money and made a target shooting area and talked to Leanne and Colin and see if they would be open to it? Little did we know that that vision would turn into what it is today. So we, you know, that saying, go big or go home. So we decided to go big. We wanted to make a multi-sports court. And on one side, it has a pickleball court that is open to the adaptive community, because Leah and Colin are so big and helping the adaptive community in rehab. On the other side, you know, the other sports that are so popular in town are lacrosse and hockey. So we wanted to do wall ball for lacrosse players and, of course, the target shooting area for hockey players. And it's in the corner of Leah and Colin's lot. So that's how we came up with Charlie's Corner. So
I love that.
Yeah.
And where are you progress-wise? Because there's been, you've done a little bit of outreach, there has been, and people can still donate to this mission, correct?
Yeah, we, you know, that vision just started off as, okay, maybe we can get this done. Well, we got our very first donation from, ironically, the Herb Brooks Foundation. Mm. They were the ones that really put us on the map, and Herb Brooks had a big footprint in this community. So they were really the ones that were like, okay, we can do this. So where we're at in the progress, we've had so many great companies like Knife River donated the concrete. We've had construction companies donate, like Tri-County Lumber donated the lumber.
Wow.
CMD has donated their time in building the project. So many other companies that I'm probably going to space names on, but they've really helped us get where we are. We are at the point now where if you drive along on Division, you see it. You know, the wall's there, the fence is up, the target shooting side is almost done. So we're waiting for the little things to make it jazzy, like the floor tiles. We've ordered the gazebo, the pergola for the shelter area. St. Cloud Financial Credit Union is going to be providing us with seating and just, so we're in the process now where we're making things to make it look pretty, you know. A lot of the local teams here, like St. Ben's and the Norsemen, sure. they work out there. So they're like, when are the Nets coming? But they use that space to be out there to warm up. Sure. You also see kids that, you know, Omni is really a community entity in this area. Mm-hmm. They train athletes in Sartell, Sauk Rapids, St. Cloud, all over. So we're already seeing this community court that was our vision. Yep. People already coming together as a community to use it. And I think that's what Jeff and I are so excited about, to just drive down to Vision and see that happen. I was just there the other day and I was kind of humbled by, holy cow, it's here.
That's incredible.
We did it. It's happening. And if I could package that up and put Charlie's Corners all over, I would be thrilled.
That's amazing. What a legacy to continue. I can't imagine, yeah, driving by and seeing it being used. And I've actually, it was pretty neat to see one of the teams, I think you said the Norsemen, that was practicing. You posted a video and I was like, oh, I just, I can't imagine your heart, you know, through this process.
Yeah. You know, we, our goal was to build it for Leah and Cullen, and that's where we stop. We're just the resource that's building it, and for an opportunity for them to have it for their, the athletes and stuff that they train, because they were so kind and generous to Charlie, and it's just our way of giving back to them too for what they did.
Sure. If anyone is interested in donating, where can they do that?
They can go to skatefreecharlie.org, and there are a couple links where they can click on. You know, they can certainly be part of the sports court. We have an opportunity where they can purchase pavers and physically be forever part of that. They can honor a loved one. They can honor a business by getting their name etched on a paver that will be stomped on, pucks thrown on, hockey sticks dropped on for here, as long as that court is here. So they can take a look at ordering those pavers at skatefreecharlie.org or making that donation for those pavers or, through there.
What a great idea with the pavers.
Yeah.
You just keep connecting all these amazing dots, and I just think it's so inspiring. What do you hope with the legacy of the Zamboni and with Skate Free Charlie, with Charlie's Corner? How do you hope all of this inspires some, you know, future children, the future hockey players? Charlie's legacy continues through this.
You know, Skate Free Charlie has evolved in ways that we never imagined. We want to continue to be a beacon for the area, to bring community events, to bring the community together, to bring communities together and our kids and youth together in a stress-free, fun youth environment. It's evolving in ways that is allowing us to hopefully one day have a true foundation for Charlie to continue to create events and things that Charlie was so passionate about with his produce, his animals, his love for sports, and his love for giving back. It's evolving in ways that is allowing me to connect with people that I never thought I would want to connect with, but now I'm so grateful that I can connect with, because I've met women who I now, I'm sad that we're in this connection community together, but I would have never have made those relationships otherwise. It's evolving me in a way that I can get out into community and hopefully start public speaking and sharing our story and how you can take a tragedy and turn it around and make it be a positive impact, not only for your healing process, but to honor those that you miss and want to continue to honor their legacy moving forward. So it's just going to hopefully continue to evolve in ways that will, and Charlie will guide us and what he wants us to do next and how we should be connecting with others. And I think, I hope that people, if I can help one person, whether they've lost a child, and I hope it's not, because it's the worst thing to ever go through, but even if it's a wife who's lost a husband, if I can be just someone that they can lean on through tragedy, through grief, just to offer a shoulder to cry on or just a place to meet for coffee to let out some tears, that is a mission that I'm happy to take on. You know, I think for me, one of my biggest sacrifices to know is that Charlie will never have to know the pain of losing a loved one. And it will be my life's mission, because I lost him. And it's just going to be my mission to continue moving forward and soaking up that grief for him.
You are such a strong, amazing human, an amazing mother, an amazing wife, an amazing friend. And I can't imagine this not inspiring someone. And especially to have that outlet to reach out to is pretty incredible. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. And I just want to, I'm very humbled and honored to be here because I've listened to all of your podcasts. And everyone that you've had on here has been so inspiring. They're such community leaders, present company included. And it just tells me that what Jeff and I and my family are doing, we're headed into that direction to be able to be an impact for this community. So thank you so much for having me here today.
As we close today's episode, I want to pause and honor Erica for her courage, her vulnerability, and her heart in sharing Charlie's story with all of us. What stands out to me the most is that even in the middle of the unimaginable grief, Erica and her family have chosen love. They have chosen to create something bigger than themselves, a movement that keeps Charlie's legacy alive and inspires others to live with kindness, strength, and joy. If you've been moved by today's conversation and want to support their mission, you can visit skatefreecharlie.org to learn more, to donate, or to be part of the upcoming events like the Zamboni Spirit Ride. You can also follow along with their journey on Facebook by searching Skate Free Charlie. Every share, every donation, and every word of encouragement helps carry Charlie's life forward. Erica, thank you for reminding us all that while loss may change everything, love leaves a legacy that never fades. Thank you for listening. If you found this information helpful, please share it with a friend. If you're looking for more information on the topics we covered, please head to the show notes below. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star rating and review, this would help this mission and our journey to get started. Let's make today and every day an opportunity to level up. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep striving, and keep making a difference.